Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Amanda Nduka.
And I am Dina Ray Ramos.
And who do we have, Dina, our episode today?
This week, we have the lovely, delightful Amber Ruffin, who has her new talk show coming out this is coming out next Tuesday. Yes. So this week.
Yeah,
so it's on Peacock. And boy, is she, oh God, that was such a
conversation. Yeah, she's so fun. And she's also a writer on Seth Meyers' late night talk show.
Yeah.
She was a writer on the Black Lady sketch show. We talk about a lot. I mean, she's among the very few amount of women, Black women, to have a show named after themselves. And if you think about the Black women amongst late night, that number gets much smaller, but she's doing it, and we definitely can't wait to see what she has in store.
Yeah, based on our conversation, there's gonna be tons of things to learn from her show, and tons of things to laugh at. And I personally love, it's kind of like she delivers bad news in the, like trash news in the sweetest and kind of like all, oh, you know, like kind of like a wink and a smile, like horrible news with a wink and a smile.
Yeah, no, she gives us a sneak peek of what they're going to talk about. I mean, it sounds like no topic is off limit. So I, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. September 25th on Peacock.
Peacock, haka.
You know, also came up with a new slogan for Peacock. So you guys enjoyed that. Without further ado, here is Amber. Amber, welcome to the Deadline New Hollywood Podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's so
nice. God, we're so excited.
Yeah, so we're excited about your late night show, which is premiering on the 25th. But before we jump into that, we just want to talk about sort of like your humble beginnings in this business. So what inspired you to get into comedy and write comedy? Who were some of the people you sort of looked up to as you were forming your skills?
I started doing comedy when I was, I don't know, like 20 probably, and living in Omaha, Nebraska. And
okay, Nebraska.
Yeah, we exist. I came up in Omaha, Nebraska, and we had an improv group that was just lonely. We'd have sad little shows. I shouldn't say that. It was lovely. It was lovely. It was great. And it was all we knew of shows. So for all we knew, they were as good as shows get. But we would do those shows, and they were really fun. And then we would go to Chicago for the Chicago Improv Festival. And when we got there, one of the people was like, you need to move here, and you'll have a full-time job within a year. The lady who owns IO, owned IO, which is an owned improv theater, told me that if I moved there in a year, I'd have a full-time job. And I did, and I did. And then I never stopped working. That's a lie. I couldn't act fast enough to snatch it out of my mouth. when I moved to, okay, so we do that. Then moved to Chicago. Then in Chicago, I got a job at Boom Chicago, which is a theater where you write and perform. Mm-hmm. So I was writing sketches and doing shows then, you know, like fucking 10 shows a week stuff. Sometimes like 14 shows a week. And then,
oh God,
the hustle,
did Second City Denver for a year, 2 years, I don't remember. And then did Second City Chicago main stage, and then did Boom Chicago again, and then moved to LA to try to make it, and did not, but got.
It's okay. You had to go to another host.
Love it. No.
I was like, this place does not care that I am here.
That's entertainment industry for you.
But they'll care now. They'll care now.
What a fun thing to say and think. Are you guys in LA?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, LA is great. You know.
No, you know what? I say LA's trash all the time. Yeah. Why? Oh, I'm open.
I have to say, I liked living in LA more than I like living in New York, but there were no jobs there for me. Like, LA plus a job is probably great. I wouldn't fucking know.
Like I said, they'd care now.
Amber, what would you, I always like to ask comedians this, because I feel like each, like individually, we all think we're funny in certain ways, but in reality, most of us probably aren't, other than to ourselves. So when was it that you first found like that you could actually make people laugh?
I was good at making people laugh when I was young, because I was just easily the ugliest child I have ever seen in my life. Was me.
What?
Stop saying that.
It's true. I mean, no, it's as not. A special looking guy. But I,
That's wrong.
My mom gets so mad when I say that. But I'm not lying. Remember how when you were people would be like, oh my gosh, what a cute little sweetie. I had never heard anyone say that. And when people would say that to my friends, I'd be like, I don't think you're allowed to talk to children like that, because I had never, no one had ever said that to me ever. So I thought, what an odd thing.
Would they say something like, oh, it's a child? Something like, keep it very general.
They would say, oh, are you a boy or a girl?
Identify.
Okay, so how did you find your funny within that?
Well, I had no choice. I had to do something. So, I mean, I was always goofing around, but it was this real nice, you know, jester of the nerds, I bet is an accurate term for what I was. Because I was only friends with little bitty nerds, and then I would make the nerds laugh. And so, you know, if people on TV always makes it seem like there are two nerds at school and blah. That's like, school is like 30% nerds. Any school. 30% minimum. So that's a lot of people. Yeah. So I, you know, was getting made fun of a lot. But I also had like a butt ton of my little friends to make laugh. And we really did. I think it was that, you know how like a lot of Black people are extremely hilarious? It was that, you know, and they're hilarious because of what life is, and it's a way to survive. That's what it is like being a nerd.
Yeah, it's kind of like a defense mechanism almost, you know, like, or coping mechanism, just to laugh away. Yeah, yeah.
You're forced to just chill out and have a nice time.
Yeah.
Were you in any stereotypical nerd clubs or band or choir?
It's just the nerdiest thing I would do. Spoke sign language, signing exact English, not ASL. The sign language I speak, I'll talk to you about it later. It's too complicated. I spoke signing exact English. Nebraska was the last state to have signing exact English because it's offensive.
Wait, it's called signing exact
English? Yes, and it's the English they used to teach deaf people so that they could assimilate. So.
Well, I was not aware.
Because we were the last place to have it. My neighbor was a deaf little girl, so I learned her sign language, and that was the language she was taught in school, but she also spoke normal sign language. But she taught me sign exact English, so that's why I speak it. I still speak it. Anyway, every lunchtime, me and my friend who was valedictorian, that can't be right. Me and my friend who was probably had the highest GPA was, every lunch we would only speak in sign language so that we could learn sign language. That's nerdy. So many people were like, oh, it's the deaf girl at school. Because you know, they'd only see me during lunch. And I'd be sitting with my friend, not speaking, only speaking sign language.
So people thought you were deaf.
That's also really smart because you could talk shit about people. They would never, and they would good. Never do
it. I still do every once in a while. I'll find out from the sign language. I'll still be like, do you want to talk shit?
There is a TikTok video that came out when WAP came out of this of the deaf woman signing WAP.
Oh yeah.
Which was I'm like obsessed with. Like I'm like that's my contribution to it. Move on.
I didn't even know that was English. What did you call it?
Signing
again?
Exact English.
Signing in exact English. What's the difference between that and the ASL?
Signing exact English is like in ASL, they would say, literally, they would say something like, and again, I do not speak ASL. They would say something like, I'm going to the store, and they sign store, like, and half lower. Yeah, yeah. And then I'm thinking about what I should pick up. And it's only just a gesture being like, you know. But it's the words, I'm thinking about what I need from the store, you know, which is the way sign language should be because they don't need all of those words. It's ridiculous to require that. But in sign exact English, you would have to be like, I am thinking about going to the store because I wonder what could I possibly need? And it's a lot.
So it's exact. It's exactly what. Oh,
it's
okay.
Too much. That's too many signs. You don't need it.
But that's still really interesting, and that's cool that you know another language. Like I can only wish that I knew another language. That's like something that I've been trying. I tried Spanish, gave up. I tried my own native language.
It's hard
gave
with
up,
other so. People.
Duolingo.
Igbo. My parents are Nigerian. I can understand it a little bit, but speaking it is. I just can't. Yeah.
It's the same with me with, cause it's like, they speak it in the household, right? Like my parents speak Tagalog and another Filipino dialect. So they would go in and out of each one in my house. So that just fucked me up. Cause I was like, oh, what language is going on? But yeah, it's like, you understand, but I never want to speak it because I feel like I'm going to butcher it and disrespect the culture.
It's very hard. But like, in Nigeria, they'll just make fun of you, but it's like, they actually also respect you for trying. So, Amber, how would you describe your style of comedy?
Doofy. I think I would say I am a doofy guy. Like, it's all very silly. I guess silly is a more accurate word because I'm not looking to, I am looking to use that comedy to soothe these things that are making me insane, to soothe me because of the things that are making me insane. Like, there's news that I just can't look at. So I write a dumb song about it, you know, or whatever.
So we're going to get deep here. We're going to get intense and serious. You know, after, you know, George Floyd's, you know, death, you know, I remember you came on to Seth Meyers and you shared your own experiences and you opened up about these numerous experiences that you had, which are very emotional. But have you always been hesitant to share those kinds of stories because, you know, you are in this space of comedy and you do it through a comedic, you do it, but you would do it in a comedic lens. But when you shared your story on Seth Meyers, it was very much kind of straightforward. It's like, this is what happened. Have you been hesitant to tell your story, to tell these stories?
No, it's just not a part of anything, you know, like, the day-to-day oppression of Black people isn't 100% conducive to comedy, and it had to be told in that way at that time because everything was so serious. Now, I suppose I could have told those stories in a sillier way at a different time. That's possible, but it just was not what that time called for. Also, I did feel like, I can tell these stories and be heard, because that's two separate things. Because I constantly rag on the cops, fucking constantly. I can't stop. And now, you know, I always, like, when we do this bit called Jokes Seth Can't Tell, I always tell jokes about cops. I always have at least one because of my strong feelings about cops. So I told those stories and was like, oh, now you get why I always have to put in a cop burn.
Yeah.
Really? I don't just like to burn cops. It's coming from a place that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting because something happened to me the other, like, last week. You know, and I'm not Black, but I am brown or bronze or a shade of brown. And I got pulled over. And, you know, first off, I want to make this about me for a minute. I was driving in Burbank, driving home. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and that was all I had to do. And I saw a cop. So I was like, naturally, you get a little bit more cautious and you slow down. And then you kind of are all, ooh, I'm getting nervous. And cops make me nervous anyway, whatever. And then I drove, the light turned green. I drove off, he turned his lights on. And I was just like, oh, he needs to pass me. And then he didn't need to pass me. He was pulling me over. And I was just like, oh, what did I do? And so I, you know, pulled over. And he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was all, no. And then he was like, oh, well, your third brake light is out. The one on the roof. He said the two are fine. And I was all, oh. And then he was like, and why did you slow down beside me? And I was all, because it was a red light. And then he was like, oh, are you on probation or on parole or anything? And then I was just like,
is he?
No. Mind you, he did not have a mask either when he pulled me over. And I was all, no. And I was wearing a Black baseball cap and a shirt with Malcolm X and Yuri Kochiyama on it.
Perfect.
But I'm sure he didn't know who they were. and I was just like, okay. And then I gave him my life. And my last name's Ramos. I've been mistaken for different ethnicities and races before. And I was genuinely kind of terrified. And then I kept on going back and forth in my head. I was just like, am I overreacting? Or is he just doing his job? And it's like, and I was like, I'm not Black, but I know it would be worse if I was Black. But it made me really nervous. And I posted on Twitter and everything, because that's what you do. And my sister was like, can I post it on Facebook? And then this one of her friends commented on it saying, he should just be grateful that cops are here to protect us. And like, kind of just, because I said cops are all trash. And then she was like coming after me. And I was like, I hate Facebook. But then, like, this kind of brings me to my question about, you know, how do you deal with people? I mean, I guess, Amanda, you can answer too, you know, who kind of gaslight or question your stories and like saying, oh, but you probably did something wrong or something like that. Because like what happened to me is like nothing, but I still was fucking terrified. And everyone was like, oh yeah, that was racial profiling. They saw you. But how do you deal with like people who are kind of counter or kind of try to contradict or gaslight what you say in terms of your experiences? That's a long way of asking that question.
I mean, it's been a while. Also, like, once you're Black and 40, I can see it coming a mile away. You know, I know who's going to say something crazy, especially after having grown up in Nebraska. I can clock it. Before you open your mouth, I know what you're going to say. I just have, it's been literally years since someone has honestly surprised me. You can't surprise me anymore because I know it's coming, but also like now our bubble is so small in here. Everybody's a comedian. It's friggin' New York City. You know, this is a very liberal place. And also now that I'm on this show, try. Come on. Do you want to talk about it? Okay. But I'm going to embarrass you publicly.
Yeah. What was the response that people gave to you after that, after your...
Dude, so I haven't been in the office. Now I'm back, but I haven't been in the office, you know, for that whole 6 months.
Yeah.
And I got here and there was this pile of fan mail, and it was all cards from mostly white people saying, I had no idea.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Really? And I do have to appreciate them sending tangible, actual postal mail.
I know. Yeah. I just thought that was so sweet. And each letter was like, I can't believe it. Thank you. I'm so glad you said that. What if you hadn't said that? And then I'd just be out in the world thinking what I thought. I was like, oh. Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy how like a lot of like white people are coming out and saying like, oh, we didn't know, like when Black about like the oppression that Black and brown people and people of color and women have been facing in this country for years, like even after George Floyd happened and all this stuff happened with the people calling out the industry and what they've been doing. It's like a lot of, I remember I read something about the creator of Friends saying that she wishes she knew now what she did back then and she would have made the show more diverse. But I'm thinking in my head, like nothing has really changed in the last, like what we've been talking about, what we were saying back then is the same thing that has been said right now. And so the fact that you're saying that you're so surprised or you don't know, it just baffles me. Same thing when people say they're surprised about the police and how police treat people.
You know how many how many years it's been like, well, the cop said that this is how it went down. Like, you has a cop ever said, you know, I just got scared and I shot him. Have you ever heard a cop say that? Then don't you think it's ever happened? So the only conclusion you can come to is that lying is acceptable. I don't want to get all riled up. But also, it's one part white people didn't know, sure. But it's another part white people didn't believe what we were saying.
I think it's that part. I think it's more so
that right there.
And they didn't know, honestly. But now that you have a platform, like you mentioned before, a platform to call out people for their wrong.
Now a bigger one.
What can you tell us about your show, the Amber Ruffin show? We mentioned earlier, it's going to premiere on September 25th on Peacock.
Is that what Peacock
That is accurate.
That's how you say it. That's what a peacock sounds like. What can you tell us about the show? What can we expect to see?
It's you know, as we're writing, like my writers are Shantira Jackson, Dwayne Perkins, and Demi Adejuyibe, and it's like the floodgates have opened because, you know, when you write comedy, it has to be, white people have to be able to understand it. But I was like, those rules don't apply here. It's all through the Black lens. So you as the spirit moves you. So it's just the best fucking sketches. It's the best. And I'm just like, oh, of course, everyone is free now. And they weren't a minute ago. Mm. So yeah.
What kind of topics are you guys going to be covering?
We're going to cover ally shit. We're going to cover how athletes feel like how reporters talk to Black athletes versus white athletes.
That's going to be great. Oh my gosh. Ooh. I can't wait to see that. I was thinking about that the other day too, like how reporters interview Black folks versus
not. Or just how, even just how a camera, a video, like video camera, whatever, film people, like people of color or Black athletes versus white athletes.
Yeah.
Oh, even before like, sorry, do you want us to be in your writer's room too? Me and Matt could definitely go in.
You might think you wouldn't be able to do it, but you can do it. It's just so, it's such an unmined area that all the ideas we have are ideas that should have been on TV 500 years ago. It's just that there was no platform for it. And there have been several platforms, but not enough for all the ideas.
Right. So would you say that nothing is off limits? Or do you have topics that you try to stay away from, like politics?
Oh, no. I'm gonna definitely talk about that. I'm gonna talk about everything. Hopefully, we were just talking about this. Like, we want to make sure that people feel welcome. Like, I would say that's the only barrier. Like, I don't want to be talking about stuff I do not know anything about. Also, I don't want to be like. We did have to take an ableist pass through everything and be like, geez, it's everywhere. Fuck the fuck. Like you, once you say, okay, I want this to be a fun thing for everybody. Well, then you have work to do. So here I am.
So you're filming in a studio right now, sans audience, without an audience right now. And so it's just you in front, behind a desk, right? Or?
It's me, and we haven't shot it yet. We shoot a test show on Friday, and then we shoot it the day it airs. So we're not doing
stuff. Oh, so it's, okay. And then it goes on the Peacock, caca.
That's right.
That night. I'm like, wanting, this is my opportunity for Peacock to hire me as an official spokesmodel.
Or we could just say that, like Peacock, caca, only on Peacock.
And then only on, because you know how like NBC has doom, doom, doom. Peacock could have.
Ca-caw. Is there? Where is the Peacock? I heard one. I only see two humans.
Amber, I want to get your opinion because obviously with comedy, I feel like comedy has been sort of coming, a lot of people have been coming down really hard on comedians. And I guess obviously they've been scrutinized a lot for their content. And do you feel like there's a limit to what comedians can talk about or make fun of? Because there is this cancel culture now, right? Like you can't really say anything anymore without, you know, you have to sort of watch what you say now. So what do you think when it comes to comedy? Should there be some more tighter boundaries?
I think that comedy has always been a little wild and we get to pick what we take in. But yeah. I also think, hey, if you're the type of person that punches down, knock yourself out. I don't know. That's not my business. I don't want any part of it, you know? But if that's what floats your boat, go on and do it. Yeah. But, you know, it also then it gets to the point where, because I don't want to be offended for other people, because nothing makes me crazier than when some old white lady is like, So you capitalize black, but you don't capitalize brown? So what?
Like, oh no, you have
okay, to Aaron.
So yeah, I don't want to ever end up like that. So if I'm not in it, then I'm not in it.
we won't expect an apology or a pose from you anytime.
Hey, but I do feel like I'm different. If I have made a mistake, you need to tell me. Please tweet at me and let me know this ain't it. I need to know because I'm not trying to alienate people. I don't want people to feel bad when they watch my show. I want them to feel good. And I want it to be for everybody. So if I'm out here accidentally tripping over like how to talk about people's pronouns and shit, tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me. I don't want to be, I don't want it to get to 10 years from now when I'm so out of touch, I can't even be talked to. I don't want that.
Yeah. That's kind of like, I think cancel culture is, there's this lack of accountability, which kind of makes it worse. But the fact that, you know, you said something like, oh, if I'm doing something wrong, tell me. And I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, no, don't tell me. I'm going to do what I want. And
I
think that's kind of, that's where I see an issue personally.
Yeah. I mean, hey, some people like that. There's money in being a piece of shit. So I can't regret.
No, that's very true. It is very true. There's an audience for, I mean, like obviously there's an audience for everybody in this country. So that's very true. Amber, you're amongst a very small amount of, a small group of people, black females that have had a show that has their name on them.
Late night, actually.
That makes the list even smaller if you're thinking about late night.
I mean, has there been a black woman?
Monique
late
had
night
a show on BET. Monique and Robin.
That's right. Robin.
Yeah, they both had a show on BET.
Whoopi Goldberg and
they were all late night. Because I remember Tempest Bledsoe had a daytime show.
Had a daytime show. There was one.
Yeah, she did.
Girl from MTV a long time ago who had, I think, a late.
Dallas.
Yeah. Anyways, I think it's safe to say that we could probably count it on all of our fingers.
On one hand.
Maybe both fingers. Both hands.
Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I think it is five is the real number, I think.
Well, we got.
We're not going into double. So
are you five or six?
I don't know.
I think I'm five.
Oh wow! So you complete the fingers, or you complete the hand. But anyways, how does it sort of feel to have this? And what was your immediate thought when they were first telling you that you're going to get your own show?
I thought, great.
You're all great, and then you went back to sleep.
No, I thought it was really exciting. This is what I've wanted. You know, I tried to get sitcoms going in NBC, and that never went anywhere. And then I pitched this show, a version of this show, I think a year or two ago. It had to be 2 years ago, 2 years ago. And then they said no. And then they came to us and were like, hey, remember that show? Can we have that? And we're like, yeah.
I wonder why.
So, like, I mean, like, we have mentioned, you know, that there is the late night space is predominantly and has been predominantly white, cis, hetero, and male since the inception of late night talk shows. And as like one of the few women of color who have entered this space, I think right now would be you and Lily Singh,
Lily, yay.
Yeah. Do you feel this kind of pressure or responsibility to immediately kind of get it right so they don't take it away from you? Because, you know, a lot of people in marginalized spaces or communities, they have this feeling of like, oh my God, if I don't do this right, they're gonna take it away from me. Like, how do you just even navigate those thoughts?
Not just
that,
they're not just going to take it away from you, but they're going to take it away from people that look like you too.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's like an added.
Mess around and this
like,
for all of us.
It's like a... It's like all eyes no are pressure. On Amber. All eyes are, Amber, if you fuck this up.
Then no one eats. I do feel that pressure, but I always have. Like, I've always been the only Black woman. Like, I wrote on Robin Thede's sketch show, but I wrote remotely. So I've never had a writer's room with a Black lady in it. Because now our show is on Zoom. All our people in LA, I still can't have it. So one day I'm going to be able to look like this, you know, at the desk next to me and go, do you have any lotion? And she'll go, she'll hand it to me. I'll go, this is what it's like.
But also, well, yeah, shout out to Shantira because she's a friend of mine. I love Shantira. Love.
She's my perfect
shout
baby.
Out to her. Her and her bread video or bread making on Instagram.
She's gifted. She's a gifted baker.
I love her. I love her. So, but yeah.
How do you hope that your show stands out, Amber?
I hope that it can soothe you while looking at what's horrible. Like most late night shows will look at the current news and kind of rant about it, and that's great, and so will I, but we'll also just roll around in the unbelievability of it all. Like, none of this is normal, and so we'll go ahead and roll around in that and rant a little bit, but just so that we take a look at what is happening, you know, because that can make you crazy. If you go, this man said this and these people believe it, and now they're all kissing each other in a pile outdoors. This isn't normal, right? And then once you hear one person go, I think this is very abnormal and it's making me feel sad. Once you hear someone do that, you calm down quite a bit and you can just live in this world a little bit longer.
Yeah. No, we definitely
That's so true.
Definitely need humor right now. There are a lot of things going on there. You're like, what the, did you not just see that?
I know. Oh God. There's so much horrible.
You can miss a whole horrible thing.
Yeah.
Because it was a long time where I was like, wait, California's on fire?
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah, I didn't know it was as bad as it was until everything started getting, you know, tinted. And I was like, whoa, this is fire. Yeah, there's just so much going on. So it's hard to keep.
Yeah, I have my family's in the Bay Area and my sister was sending me pictures. She lives like an hour outside of San Francisco, but where her in the suburbs, it was still raining ash. Like she was filming it and it was like falling on the cars. And I was all, whoa. And all, you know, that those orange tinted pictures looking like Blade Runner. I was that was just freaky.
Yeah. It's really scary, but according to our
president, but let's talk about happy.
They're gonna end soon, so
I mean, I'd be fine if the world ended right now. No. I mean, after Amber's show premiere.
So
right,
everyone remember there's no hope. Good night.
that's great. Oh my gosh. And you would definitely find an audience for that too.
Amber's show will be the last one to sign off over. Like
What do you have going on next, Amber, that you can talk about? And if there's nothing that you can talk about, what are you irking to do that you haven't done yet in your career?
I have a book coming out. I wrote a book with my sister because she started writing down all of the crazy racist things that happened to her because she lives in Omaha. And it's, you know, real racist things happen all the time and they're serious, but this stuff is just the most hilarious. Like once she had Harriet Tubman checks, you know, little checks with Harriet Tubman on them, and she gave them to the lady and the lady goes, oh, you put your face on your checks.
Oh, stop it.
Like, a
thousand stories like that.
My God.
Was it like the, was it the picture that
yes, it's the picture you're thinking of.
Jesus Christ, yes. You guys.
Where she's just like,
yes.
Like,
oh.
This is why we complain that Black history should be longer than a month and in the shortest month of all.
Okay, I'm tripping over that.
That is crazy. What's the book called?
The book is called You'll Never Believe What Happened to Lacey. Crazy Stories of Racism.
That could be a really good show, too. Like, just the crazy racist things that happen. Because it was sometimes it's, you know, it's all innocent, but it's still like, huh? Like,
it's like,
it's
yeah.
So much.
This is 2020, and we're still explaining who Harriet Tubman is, but you know.
It's fine. We'll just put all our faces on checks.
We'll continue to pray for our country and our people.
I don't know.
That's all we can do. So,
dang.
So we like to end the interview with the section or segment we call the facts or the FAQs. Just some random stuff that we like to ask our guests. So the first question is, what is one TV show or movie that you'll never get tired of watching?
Popular answer, The Last Dragon. Unpopular Ooh. Answer, Spanglish.
wait. Those are in two.
Wow, Spanglish.
Kids, help it.
Oh my God, really?
So the way Spanglish with Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, right?
Was it Taylor Leone?
Yes. Yes. No, it was Taylor Leone.
Was it Taylor Leone?
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
I give props to Last Dragon. I'm not mad at Spanglish. I'll watch it if it's on HBO.
Spanglish was the only DVD when I lived in Amsterdam. It was the only DVD in the house. And so I'd be like, I guess I'll watch Spanglish. And it happened so many times that I honestly grew to love it.
It was almost like a Stockholm syndrome kind
That's right.
of thing. Okay, so you recently tweeted about the verses with Brandy and Monica. We also saw the verses with Patty and Gladys, yes. which was just as iconic. What is your dream verses? And it doesn't have to be musicians. It could be anyone
I've
else.
I've been like, thinking about this.
Inventors.
What? Versus
Benjamin
Tesla.
Franklin versus.
Oh, no. I mean, I guess I
Elon Musk versus.
I have been thinking about this, and I think versus has become a space where Black people get to celebrate one another. But if you take out the Z's and then you replace them with S's, then anyone can do it. So if this versus, I would have. Adam Sandler, how crazy we just mentioned him, versus Andy Samberg with silly songs.
Ooh. Oh, that fun. I honestly think Andy would win. Andy has, I feel like he has the best silly songs, honestly. Like Dick in the Box, like you can't.
But I think Adam Sandler is better at top of head, I think. Like, I think he could do it on the spot. I'm not saying Andy can't.
That would be a good matchup. Let's make that happen.
It would be the most fun. And also,
but it has to be S. It has to be versus.
Yes.
Like, not
you can't have the Z's.
You can't have the Z's. You get the S. Okay, if you could live the life of Beyonce, J-Lo, Rihanna, or Janet Jackson for one day, who would it be?
Okay, so there's a lot here.
There's a lot to unlock.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Like, I'd like to be Beyonce and look at myself. I'd like to be Rihanna and look at myself. But what is Janet Jackson doing? What does the baby look like? Where is she? How is she living?
Where the fuck is she?
And so I would have to
check that. We've never seen the baby. I've never seen. I don't know. But the baby, I think, wasn't she living in Dubai or something at one point?
Like, doesn't she have, like, a king or a prince? Like, she's married to some prince?
I think they got divorced, but yeah, I think that's who her child's father is some prince or
And also, or, her Instagram, I don't know if those are recent pictures. it could be, like, because it's very, her Instagram is so produced. Yeah. Like, I'm like, there's nothing candid. Like, it's not just, because at least Mariah has candid shit, you know. But Janet, you know, it's just like, oh, here's a picture of me. And it, that could have been from her era of, you know, self-titled. I don't know. It's so weird.
Well, at least, I mean, it's still good. At least people can still believe that, even if it is old, that she still looks like that, though, which is, yeah.
What's the last music she put out?
I don't know, actually.
She did do a track with Missy a while back.
Made for Now. It's called Made for Now.
That's what it is. Okay.
I was like, really hard. I'm only thinking of her old stuff. Like, I Get So Lonely.
Oh my God, I better not be wrong about Made for Now.
That's my.
Are you looking? Okay. Well, while Amber fact checks that. okay. Amber, what is one talent that you wish you had?
Okay, I think I'm right. Okay. One talent that I wish I had. You know what I always wish I could do is fix a car. Wouldn't that be so freaking cool if someone was like, and they were like, oh, well, I can't, I guess I can't go to the store. You'd be like, no, bud, pop your hood. And then you'd floopy floop.
And then you fix the car.
That's exactly how the mechanics do it. They just
loopy floop
and the car is
get it done.
Okay. Would you rather have everything on your phone right now, everything from browsing history, photos, text messages, all that stuff, made public for anyone to search or anyone who searches your name, or never use a cell phone again?
I wouldn't mind if everyone read my stuff. Yeah, mama. You read through it right now. Who cares?
There's no Chris Evans situation.
I've been
on
married
there.
For 10 years. There is literally nothing on my phone. I mean, maybe I'm talking shit about someone, but probably not.
Yeah.
I'm probably not even doing that. This is probably like, how cute is your dog? Send me another picture. It's all nothing.
So you're. From like a movie rating, like a G to R, or even, you know, NC-17, how is your phone? What would you rate your phone?
I mean, I guess PG-13 because I cuss a lot.
But okay, that's
fine.
Like
butts or anything.
Yeah. Mine is definitely an R. I would not
want to. Oh my God! I just talk a lot of shit.
It's just
endless.
If we ever meet each other in person, I need you to come up to me and don't say anything and put your hand out, and then I'll go okay, and I'll take out my phone and I'll open it up and I'll hand you my phone.
And then I can. Oh, that's like a good segment, like for your show, 10 minutes with a stranger and Amber's phone.
You find something you like, send it to yourself.
Okay, so our last question that we ask all our guests, is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, comedian, writer, producer, any storyteller or creator that is not in the mainstream that you think deserves more shine and love from the industry?
I think you're asking who got next. I think that answer, of course, is my three writers. They're the best. Gwen, Shantira, and Demi are the future. But because we mentioned them already, I feel like I have to go with someone new. And there is this comedian named Millie Tamaris, and she is so funny. And it's just who she is. Like, she can write and she can perform, but who she is hilarious. And it's like, oh, you gotta bottle this. Like, you should be the host of like 18 different shows. I've watched that. It's just how she says what she says is absolutely hilarious every time. I love her.
You have to look her up. Millie, what's her last name again?
great question.
I think you said it.
You said it. I missed the last.
Tamaris. Tamaris. Tamaris.
Millie Tamaris. Shout out to Millie Tamaris. We'll look her up.
She's so funny.
We'll also be looking up your show on September 25th.
Yay!
Very excited.
We'll, Yeah, and like, feel free to share everything on your phone with us.
I'll give you my
share everything with your phone. And, and also your book with your sister, which I am like now dying.
Hell yeah. I can't believe
it. You wait, sold it with the check.
Is that, is there a release date for the book yet?
January 12th.
Yes.
Good okay. New Year's. A good way to kick off the new yep. year.
Right?
Well, with checks with Harriet Tubman.
Oh my God, that should be your promo material. Just that everybody checks
and it should, Harriet. You have an area, arrow pointed to it and said, not Lacey.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know if this would be disrespectful, but what if it, you and your sister dressed like Harriet Tubman and put yourself on chess and gave us out as promo item? Is that too far?
Okay, Harriet I'm Tubman fine. Question mark?
Yeah, exactly. but Amber, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation.
We can't wait for it.
Yeah, stop talking.
Yeah.
I know.
Can't wait. We'll be tuning in September 25th. Everybody should. We can't wait to see what you have. And you guys are
every week, right? A weekly week? Show, right? Every yeah. week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, we will definitely be tuning in. Are you guys gonna go in front of the audience? Not this year, right? But next year, is it gonna be shot in front of a live audience?
No one has any idea.
Okay.
But when it happens, me and Amanda will go to New York yeah, and be right. front row.
Yeah, would love it.
Yeah, cool. I can't wait.
Yeah, thanks again.
Thanks, Amber.
Remember, the world's ending. Go feel sad, everyone.
That's the way to end it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.